the mentally retarded, violent to a point where they need to be chained up by the world standards. God wants to bring them in the door, and he doesn't want one single person to be scornful or mocking or making fun of them in any way. He doesn't want that spoken in this place. He doesn't want it spoken on the telephones between people. He doesn't want it spoken. He doesn't want it spoken because you have authority and power in the heavenlies, and he doesn't want to entrust you with something that can hurt and even destroy somebody else. You've got to get rid of opinions. You've got to not quickly open your mouth to say, this is going to happen if you do that. Because you just prophesied it. You just let demons grab what you say and say, man, if they do this now, we're going to hurt their kid, or we're going to put them in jail, or we're going to do this. And God's talking to me too. God's getting this serious. Tonight, God's getting this serious. That's exciting to me. It means there's a change about to happen. There's something about to break forth. And if you're not convicted, then it's probably because you're so meek and mild and with some of these other issues that you don't even have enough self-esteem to even think of touching anything yet. So don't judge it, because when you finally get your self-esteem and God builds you up, you're probably going to have to re-listen to this tape and get free. Does everybody get what I'm saying? There is a real presence of the fear of the Lord beginning to be in this meeting tonight. And it's only because he loves us. It's like when your parent sits you down and says, now listen to me, this is so important. I really don't want you to ever get in a car with a stranger. It's very dangerous. Now just promise me you'll never do that. Because God is, you as a parent want to protect that child from the enemy, right? God is speaking to us tonight that he wants to protect you from the enemy. And he wants to protect people he brings in here from any enemy in you by getting it out of you. Okay? There is a time for joy. There is a time for lightheartedness, but it's not at the expense of another human being that Jesus Christ died for. And if it's still in your heart, it's not about shutting your mouth, okay? It's not about shutting your mouth. It's about getting it out of your heart so it's not even a thought to make fun of somebody. It's not even a thought to judge somebody. It's not even a thought. It's not in there anymore. It's not about keeping your sin and keeping it hidden inside because you shut your mouth. It's still in you. It's still going to come out somewhere. God wants to get it out of us. Praise God. Everything he's done in me that's been real are things that I'm so changed, I'm not the same person. And that's what he wants about this scornful thing. The other thing with all of this is it's contentious. It's full of strife. Always trying to plant seeds to cause a fight. Always looking for a fight. Always looking how it can outdo somebody and have the next word. And it's about fighting with words. Using your words the way the devil wants you to use your words, instead of using your words to bring healing, instead of using your words to bring hope, instead of using your words to draw people to Christ. It's always hope in Christ. Even ministry, when Jesus says to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. It's a very powerful spiritual law. He's revealing without question that there are demons that operate in Christians, and you separate the demon from the person and you deal with the demon and not the person. You rebuke demons, not people. You expose demons, not people. You don't make someone feel stupid and dumb and ugly and mean or something's wrong with them because they're having a spiritual problem. Jesus did not say, get away from me, Peter. You are so stupid. Who do you think you are saying that kind of stuff to me? Don't you know who I am? You're trying to mess things up. No, he specifically separated the spirit operating in Peter from Peter, and he rebukes the spirit. And that's what God's calling us to. Get rid of this scornful thing that lumps the person with the spirit and attacks the person instead of the spirit. I wish everybody who had anything to do with this ministry was here tonight. Are we panding these CDs out left and right? Especially before people can minister. This part of hardiness interrupts others. We've talked about all this. That's part of that being self-absorbed. Controlling. Being a dictator, control spirit. This is, if you have a control spirit, you have a strong man of haughtiness unless you tear it down. So to the level that you still control everything, try to be in charge of everything, try to make all the steps, you know, decide all the things, and control other people and decide what's right for other people. and decide what's right or wrong. There are things in life, folks, that you get totally free will choice about, and no one else needs to tell you how or when or what to do there. It's part of haughty. It's part of superiority, thinking that you can think better than everybody else and see things better than everybody else. And most of us have been hurt by people who had that. When we get into the scornful and look at the scriptures, you'll see you've either judged it, you've been hurt by it, you've made a vow about it, or you're eating of the tree of good and making yourself think more highly of yourself than you ought. But any kind of control is under this thing. You don't know anything. I don't know anything. We don't know anything except Christ and Him crucified. Hallelujah. I don't know what's right for Karen and Thad's life. Only God can show them what's right. I don't know what's right for Donna and her family and what's right for her sons and her daughter. Only God can show her that. I don't know what God has for Laurie and her daughters and what she should be doing. But scornful is a false wisdom that makes you think that because you have some real wisdom, God has now given you some kind of authority to make decisions concerning other people that only belong to the Holy Spirit in them. And we need to learn as we get rid of the spirit, when people come to us for ministry or they come to us for counsel, we're going to teach them to go to the Holy Spirit. We're going to teach them to go to the Word. We're not going to act as if we know what they should and shouldn't do. It's witchcraft. It's witchcraft. It's pure witch. To the degree that you walk with Christ, to the degree that there's some real anointing in your life, is to the degree that when Satan can cause you to take an opinion and spiritualize it as the only way and the only truth, you are now bringing forth a curse on that person and causing them not to think that they can hear God for themselves. I'm going to give you an example of something that kind of brought some of this up in a few minutes. Scornful, that's what we're really talking about, but all this stuff is so intertwined that I wanted to kind of explain it, because what we're going to do is blow this whole thing out and totally do a horrible blow to haughtiness. If you had someone, when we talk about scornful, and we're going to get into that a little bit deeper detail, because that's really what I want to talk about tonight mainly, but it can be a very critical spirit, but it's disguised as wisdom. And it's very confusing. Because what they say has so much truth to it, and it can be right. It's the right answer, but with the wrong spirit. And so it causes condemnation. It causes lack of confidence. It causes other people to be afraid to not do it, but it's not based on faith and realizing, wow, that's the Holy Spirit speaking. It's based on witchcraft that makes you feel like if I don't do this, then something's wrong. And it's really confusing when it comes forth and it's the right answer, but with the wrong spirit. Because then you're set up to rebel against the answer when it could be the right answer. But now something in you rebels against it, because that kid in you who was hurt by a scornful, critical parent now feels that same hurt and walks away from what could have been a good answer or good advice, good counsel. That's why God wants us to purge this thing out of us. I've got to get it out of my heart completely, because there's many times when I've had enough wisdom for quite a while not to tell people what to do. I've had enough fear of the Lord not to say, this is the only way, walk in it. Unless I could biblically show you without question on certain issues. But at the same time, I know as I was walking away, I'm thinking, they needed to really listen to what I just said. I hope they got it. Instead of going and crying out to God and praying, Lord, let them have ears to hear what you said through me. And I know there's been a lot of things the Lord has told me to tell people. And in maturity that he's given me, I did not control them with it. I did not manipulate. I did not cross the line into witchcraft at all. And they made the wrong decisions, because they didn't receive it as from the Lord, but that was because of lust in their heart. It's not about me that have to be dealt with. And I will say, because God has been changing me, I didn't have I told you so, I was right attitude. And where I have, I'm asking God to purge me from that, because what that will do is make people ashamed and unable to come back and get more help. We mess up. We've got hurt in us. We have hurt parts of us that respond incorrectly to true godly counsel. That's not a death sentence. That doesn't mean the rest of our life is going to fall apart. It doesn't mean we'll never have good relationships. We need to not get the pride on it that then puts witchcraft on it. Do you get what I'm saying? Does everybody get what I'm saying? Or am I, a lot of you look scared. Am I scaring anybody? All right. Now, under this is actually a trait you'll see in scornful when you look it up, is self-deception. To me, that's the most frightening part of this. Satan deceived himself. And everyone should pray, God, don't let me fall into deception. You can't protect yourself from deception, okay? You can't. I know it's been bothering Edie, so afraid, you know, I don't want to make sure I don't get deceived. It's not your job to keep yourself from deception. It's your job to not want to be deceived and ask the Holy Spirit to keep you from deception, and then it's your job to believe that he's able to do that. And then he will go out of his way to do whatever it takes to make sure that you have eyes to see and ears to hear, even to have me preach with such a strong anointing with the fear of the Lord on it tonight. For some of you, this is to get your attention because you normally would walk around goofing off and not listen or think it's for somebody else. So the Lord's put this anointing that we haven't felt that many times, so that you'll hear, because he loves you. He wants you free. He's heard your prayers. He knows you've asked to be set free. He knows you don't want to hurt anybody. He knows it's hard for you to face how the enemy's used you and how you always just think the enemy uses everybody else but not you. The enemy has used every single person in this room to hurt people that you love. But there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus, because God is able to heal and fix and even turn around every single area where I messed up. Thank God. Hallelujah. There's no condemnation. There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. There's only freedom. There's freedom to not be afraid. I don't regret walking where I've walked, saying what I've done, ministering how I've ministered, because it's all I knew. And God is bigger than my immaturity. God is greater than my messes. God can even use it in a powerful way to set somebody's life on the right course when it's not because of me. And all heaven says amen. No. All right, self-willed. Self-willed is part of this. You tell God what you will and what you won't do. Self-willed is you say, I'll do this, this, and this, but I won't do that. Oh, Lord, I'll do this, this, and this, but I won't really give the way you want me to give. Or I'll do this, this, and this, but Lord, I really won't switch to that church. I don't want to go there. Or Lord, I'll do this, this, and this, but I'm not going on that missions trip. Or this, this, and this, but I'm not cleaning those bathrooms. It's self-willed. You still call the shots with God. It's part of haughty. It's part of pride. And God's not putting up with it. And then the last one he has here is self-centered. It's still all about you and not him and his kingdom. And so God is tearing these things down. He's tearing these things down. And I'm so thankful for that. I really want to see God move. And I really want it to be only because of his great love and his heart to change people and to change situations and for people to see how wonderful he is and how real he is. And so I really want to see my heart prepared to not touch any of God's glory. I'm excited that I can listen to those tapes and I can tell you the changes he's made in my life. If he hasn't changed your life, you need to really question if you're saved. And you need to at least question if you're really hungry and going after him. And I can just tell you, knowing most of you, he really has changed your lives. Some of you have just changed from terrible darkness to just at least a decent human being. And some of you have really gotten hungry for the things of God. Some of you want the call on your life. Some of you want God to be everything. Some of you really want the power of God. You really want to see the love of God. Some of you are really moving into a place to be apostolic people that God can really use, and you're going to have this awesome life that glorified God. And I'm glad, I'm thankful for those of you who just got out of major sin and now you're not going to hell. Praise God. And you're more than invited to come. But there's going to be a core group of people that God's going to raise up with powerful signs and wonders and the might of God and the love of God and a total dedication to God and him alone and his kingdom come. And so you've got different things going on here. You've got hurt people who are just getting free enough to survive. And then you've got people who are very mature in the things of God. If you put them compared to what's going on in the world right now, they're very mature. The revelations, the things they've been taught, the things they know, the things they walk in, the power they walk in. And yet there's still a desire deep inside for more Christ. Just a great desire. And so you've got both things going. Well, praise God, he's going to have both things going. You always need some people to minister to, even as God's setting you free to go deeper.